At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome into Hour 2 of Old School. Austin Orman and Jay Foreman with you. 3 hours of Old School coming your way moving forward. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Well, at least Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Still got the hour carved out for teammates on Tuesdays. But as always, Old School is brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. They've got 3 Lincoln locations and 1 up in Omaha. You can also view their selection online at themercadobutcher.com. Jay, what's the last thing you bought from the Mercado?
Tomahawks. Hey, man, I got to get, before we jump into Luka Doncic and them, man, another guy paid. I had to do the unthinkable.
The unthinkable?
Yeah, I'm about to tell you. Text line, I'm disappointed in you. I'm a man of great pride, faith, and belief. I always believe in the superpowers, man. You know, Greek mythology, I believe Zeus was looking over me. You know what I'm saying? The one with pigmentation in his skin. That was my man. You know what I'm saying?
I get you. Yeah. I get you.
And it helped me on the grill. But I asked for the ticket listeners, the old school homies, all the people in Nebraska, all the country folks that knows how to just fix everything. Just grew up fixing stuff, right? Couldn't get that smoker going. So I had to sell it. I had to sell it, man.
Oh,
so now,
man.
Now, ticket listeners,
your boy's in the market. Go get it.
I'm asking you. We should do a poll. What smoker should Jay get? Now, listen, I'm not putting it together. Okay. Okay, let's just get this. I'm not putting it together.
No, this is not an IKEA smoker.
Yeah. We want one ready made. Ideally, I'd like to pay $30 for delivery.
Grip it and rip it.
So, everybody out there that's a griller and smoker extraordinaire, send in what you think I should get. Because I'm looking on Facebook Marketplace.
If you had to pick right now, what are you going with?
I don't know, man.
You're conflicted? God doesn't even give you a direction?
I have my Traeger. Disappointed? No, I needed probably to update a version where, you know, it's all high tech, so I need to not close the door on Traeger. I know they got the Green Egg. I know they got the Komodo Joe. And I forgot Kevin Meyer Cork and Bottle on 13th and South told me another one. So I've been, you know, I forget that one. But I need some help, man.
402.
There it is, right there. 6294. Yoder.
Rec-tech. Yoder, yeah.
Charcoal never break. Yes, I know.
But there's a difference between a grill and a smoker, old dad.
Right, but you can do that. See, that's the thing. You can do both, but it just takes a little bit more TLC.
Eric says he'll put your smoker together in exchange for one of your burgers.
Well, Eric, my smoker is sold, my brother. That thing is gone down.
You're talking about your new one.
Oh, the new one. All right.
In exchange for a burger.
Oh, that's for sure. I'll even get you some ribs. Rec-tech, Green Mountain all day. I think it means a green egg.
No, he means a green mountain.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking at.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to do this.
That seems big time.
Yeah.
What's your timeline? When do you need ASAP. To have one? ASAP?
Okay. ASAP.
Rec-tech has the most votes right now, if that helps.
Yeah, we're gonna check in for the rest of the week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then that's weekend plans?
Yeah, see, here's how I am. I'm a plotter. I'm gonna canvas the scene, check the vibe out, I'm gonna go back and read reviews, then I'm gonna stew over it. Then I'm gonna call my uncle for sure. Call my dad. Call my other man that grills. To go back and check it again. I'm condensing the list.
Can I give you some advice?
What?
You are paralyzed by analysis right now.
No, I'm not.
You are doing the most. You are doing too much.
Because
Jay,
what
is your gut telling you need to get from the reviews you've done so far?
I don't know.
Because you just don't want to admit it yet.
Austin, listen. Oh,
I know you're a thinker.
Now we got
I know
a good one
intellectual.
Here. No, hold on. Now we got a good one. 9218. I've heard about the Blazing Grill in Beatrice. Now, I've heard it. They make them right there.
Okay.
Now, I played in a little, this is years ago. I played in this golf tournament down in, I think it's Beatrice. It's like a 9-hole course. And this dude named Aaron Bell sent me in there. It's a long story. I can't be saying it on air. Well, it was hot that day. And I remember we were on this par 3. I almost got stung by some bees. But we had the guy that we played with built their own grills. And because he brought us some smoked jerky. I've heard about those. It's not proud. Listen, do you know how long I had that Traeger? Do you know how hurt?
I can tell it meant a lot to you.
Yeah.
I really can. And you're not looking for just a little rebound? Something to get you through quickly? You just want the right one, the next one?
You don't jump in. You don't go rebound, Austin. You got to really do this.
Okay.
I'll make everyone work.
Obviously.
But we're going to take a poll and we're going to have it.
6294 says, I'm your scramble partner from Hidden Valley last year. Brian.
Yeah. See?
That's your boy?
Yeah.
What's up, Brian? He's at Rec Tech, by the way.
Yeah, I know. See, I didn't have the smoker problems then.
You were smoking that ball.
Yeah. I probably left there and threw me a couple slab of ribs on there. Because when you have your smoker and you got a grill and you got all that, when you step through like the Mercado and you get a tomahawk or you get whatever, you just feel like...
Oh, you're walking different.
Yeah, you're walking different.
Chest when you got all reliable.
Yeah.
You know exactly what you got to do, when you got to do it.
Yep. One reliable.
Jay, I am so sorry for your loss. I believe you're going to find the next one for you.
And here's
someone says pit barrel.
I've heard of that.
Okay.
And then, listen, also... you also got to make sure that I saw these grill mats on there too.
Ooh,
it's a whole deal.
It's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got the whole setup. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you. Now we'll get back on task to Luca, you know,
let's start with De'Aaron Fox real quickly. 4 years, $229 million extension from the Spurs to the guy they just traded for about halfway through last season. Of course, still lots of questions to be answered as he and Wemby didn't share the floor for very long. Of course, Fox had the broken pinky. And Wembanyama went through the deep vein thrombosis in his shoulder. Add that to Stephon Castle, who didn't shoot well, and then Dylan Harper, the number two draft pick. Pretty crowded backcourt for San Antonio. But, Jay, here's where I don't hate what the Spurs are doing. With this four-year extension that's going to take De'Aaron Fox through the 29-30 season, what they're able to do is they still have two team options left with Stephon Castle and then Dylan Harper on a rookie deal.
Mm.
I like what the Spurs did here. Yes, with the fit questions, I get it. But now you can tinker for a couple of years, see if these guys work well together. It's not, you have to make a decision right now this year and it's over. You got a proven commodity in De'Aaron Fox. You know what he's going to bring to the table with you. You got a high upside draft pick in Dylan Harper, and at the very least, a solid role guy in Stephon Castle. I like that the Spurs made this move because they don't have to act immediately, but they can act on their terms. If it works, great. You got him locked up for pretty reasonable prices. If it doesn't work, you can take your guesses as to, oh, it's because of this guy or that guy. Here's where the weird fit is. Fox's contract, especially as the NBA money keeps going up, is going to be tradable in a couple years.
That's what I was going to say. He's not even at the, you know, he's still coming into his own. Because, you know, obviously he only played it, a year or two in Kentucky. So he's not at the end of his career and got that big deal, kind of like Bradley Beal, where it's like a huge deal. It's like nobody wants to take on that contract, in which obviously he had to waive his no trade clause to get to the Clippers. But it's probably a year too late for Bradley Beal. He would have probably liked to have been somewhere else this year. Whereas I think Fox, where it's $229 million, let's just say 2 years, right? So it's four years. So that's what, $57 million a year? So $114 is that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you got 2 years, essentially, or when you trade him 1 year, prove it to extend the contract for him. If he does do well wherever he would go, if it doesn't work out in San Antonio, then, you know, they're more than, you know, They definitely would want to give them the, whatever the new money is for. So I think it works out for both teams. I think it works out for Fox to get paid 50-some million average. And it works out for San Antonio. This is like they were going to have to pay it anyways. It doesn't put a ton of pressure on Harper to turn step in. It keeps Wimby on time. And then also allows Castle to, I guess, mature. And he's got to have a big year because then he's going to possibly be moved. Because you don't, if you don't believe in Castle, you're going to try to work out Fox and Harper, which – you know, it's probably going to take 2 years to get that all mixed, that mix figured out. It's kind of like that Philly situation, you know, with an overload of guards that can do similar things, but then you got one that's paid, and then you got to see what the other guys do. So you with McCain and Maxey and all that, and who you really are turning the keys over to.
Now Edge come in there as well.
Yeah, so now, but that's the way you got to do it. I think you don't trade for a guy like Fox in the middle of the year. And kind of, and not kind of, and let Chris Paul leave. Because if you really wanted to go with Harper, you keep Chris Paul, and kind of by the midseason, you turn it over to Harper. Mm-hmm. So now you're saying, okay, we're going to let Harper develop, you know, at a good rate. He's going to play a ton. Mm-hmm. But we got a guy we know that's a, you know, pretty much an all-star that can help Wimby, you know, accelerate even faster.
And Harper is pretty good size. Maybe not perfect size for a three. Maybe not quite as explosive athletically.
He gives you flexibility, though.
But he can play the two pretty comfortably. He can handle the balls of the one like we saw at Rutgers. What I'll be curious to see is how often we see each of those three guys paired up. I think Fox and Castle makes a lot of sense. Offensive hub and Fox, key perimeter defender and Castle. I think both those rookies, one of them handling the ball, one of them off ball, or I guess Castle's not a rookie anymore, but young guy, those two can play well together. And then, you know, Fox and Harper together, that's maybe where a bit of the fit issue comes into play for me as Harper learns how to play off ball because he's dominated the ball growing up in EYBL and all that sort of stuff. And not to say he can't do it. All reports are, I mean, good young man, I mean, NBA pedigree with his dad and brother.
I think he can do it, yeah.
But I wonder what the best reps are going to be for him because San Antonio brought Chris Paul in to mentor Stephon Castle as a point guard. And I wonder if the reason that they got De'Aaron Fox is because they said, hey, you know what? Stephon Castle's not really a point guard.
Yeah.
He's best at the two. We got to go get an actual true lead guard to be the number one, which is where I could see the Spurs honestly bringing Harper off the bench as a quote-unquote super sub here for the first couple years, where he's almost primarily Fox's backup, and they don't really play together a whole lot. They stagger those minutes.
Yeah.
So Castle can play the role that's best for him, and Harper can play the role that's best with him for the ball in his hands.
Yeah, especially when you're thinking about Dylan Harper. He's crafty, getting to the rack, and he can finish, you know, obviously in and around the rim with both hands and has a, you know, pretty, you know, wide skill set of finishing moves and then how to get into his shot or distribute, especially with a true 7'2" guy in Wimby and not a fake 6'9" guy in Ace Bailey. I think he could be, you know, really, really good at the end of the quarters, half. And then obviously if he has to play with De'Aaron Fox, I think Fox probably shoots it. I think obviously Fox has shot it decently enough from 3-point range compared to Harper. Harper's never played in the NBA yet. So I think in a scenario where you have both of them in there, I think it'd be De'Aaron Fox kind of moving off the ball. And then Dylan Harper, you're getting to the rack and we need you to create.
Yeah.
And that would, you could keep Wimby, you could have Castle. It won't be much because you don't want them to overthink it. But I think the Spurs are making good moves and they got good solid guys. I think everybody that they've drafted or picked are guys that fit their organization.
Their mold.
Yeah, their mold. And so you're going to get more out of it. And it's no different than Oklahoma City that what they were able to draft, pick guys, pay guys that kind of, you know, fit Oklahoma City, fit their team and their culture.
Let's keep it out west, Jay. Now the Luka Doncic extension. 3 years, $165 million. That's the max that Los Angeles could offer him. That's $55 million per year. Obviously, that keeps Luka out of free agency. He was going to play out the last year of this deal before this extension. But how about this? Luka Doncic can opt out in 2028, sign that new true max deal, which would be 35% of the salary cap, which right now you're looking at 5 years, $417 million potentially for Luka Doncic in 2028. Lakers had to make this move. They made this move. I don't know why there was all this speculation that he was going to potentially not sign the contract and walk out. Lakers got their guy. They locked him up. I mean, for $55 million a year, kind of a bargain right now for the next couple of years in NBA terms.
Especially because he's still coming into his prime. And obviously, it, you know, being inspired, whether it's by LeBron or everybody else getting paid or losing the, you know, his, I guess, respectability across the league. You know, at least the pictures that he's tweeted out or whatever, he's in pretty, I mean, it's the best he's looked, you know, and since he's been in the league.
Yeah.
And then obviously it's probably something he knows that, you know, it's not just on the court, but off the court in LA. And that's just some of the things that a lot of guys have been able to take advantage of it. So, you know, you're losing some money as far as tax wise, as far as living out in LA, but you're gaining it as far as, you know, legacy and notoriety. Now, the onus goes back onto the Lakers brass. You know, you got to get a championship team. You can't just field a team that can get you, you know, number five in the West anymore.
Right.
And if this is Luka's team, you've really shown by your actions, both in how you dealt with LeBron, right? With the AD trade, and then obviously with LeBron and where he's at. And then obviously with giving Luka a huge contract. So, you know, you better plan accordingly. Because that window, championship window, is closing very, very quickly, considering that Oklahoma City and Denver is kind of retooled, and your evil cousin across the, you know, across the street, the Clippers have, you know, a short window roster as well, you know, as far as tons of veterans and so forth and so on.
It's going to be interesting to monitor how the Lakers do fill out the rest of that roster. Jay, I saw this from Todd Whitehead on Twitter. Luka Doncic is the only player in NBA history to, across his first 6 years, score 10,000 career points, record 3,000 career rebounds and assists, earn 5+ first-team All-NBA selections, and win 5 or more playoff series. I mean, that's insane. For a guy that we're talking about, oh, is his conditioning in the right place? Is it a guy that really wants to play basketball? How invested is he? The dude is putting up numbers, and to your point, he is just now entering his prime, coming over from Real Madrid as he did when he was 18, 19 years old. Now he's been in the league for you know, 6-7 years now, or entering year 7, I believe. I mean, we could still see an even better version of Luka Doncic. And I saw someone make the comparison in an article to the parallels and differences between bringing in Luka Doncic to Los Angeles after weight issues and getting rid of Shaq almost because of weight issues to some degree. Well, what Shaq did when he went to Miami, I didn't realize that Shaq finished second in MVP voting his first year in Miami, which was kind of nuts to think about. We know coming into the year there's going to be a lot of buzz around Luka. What does Luka have to do to take that Shaq step, go to a new team because of weight issues? Is it on the table for Luka to win MVP or finish second this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, scoring the basketball and you know, do all that stuff, it'll take care of itself, because once he's had a whole off season, and if he's able to get through like camp and stuff without, you know, starting on, you know, ground zero, you know, watch out. Now, I think the biggest thing is he's got to get on the same page with JJ Redick, LeBron, and their whole team. And, you know, as far as, you know, what the role definition is, because you got two big human beings that can dominate the ball in LeBron and Luka. Mm-hmm. Then you got AR-15, and then you got DeAndre Ayton. So I think as much as we just talked about the Spurs or, you know, Philly, you know, I think the biggest thing they have to do is get on or get together and see where everybody's at. Is LeBron going to finish out this year? Is he looking to get traded? And then they got to figure out what type of offense they're going to put together, and then obviously be able to mask some of the defensive deficiencies.
What's better for Luka's MVP chances? Winning it with LeBron playing well, or winning it if LeBron has to miss time due to injury?
I don't want everyone to think about LeBron getting injured. I think it's just, say, like, LeBron leaves. Say he leaves, and then Luka gets really, really busy, like, starts going. I think he can win it there. But more importantly, it doesn't matter if LeBron's in the lineup or out. This is Luka's team. The only way that he's going to win an MVP or get close to an MVP is if the Lakers play well. Mm. It, like, right now, you know, putting up empty points for him, that's not going to do anything.
We know you can do that.
Right. Because then everybody like, well, then you're shooting too many threes. We've seen that kind of with Anthony Edwards. You know what I mean? And so,
to be fair, Luka's on a different level than Anthony Edwards.
Right. But remember at the beginning of last year, they were saying he shot too many threes.
Yeah.
But then he's like, oh, I'm shooting 40-something percent. You're still not. they're empty, right?
Sure.
And you didn't, the Timberwolves didn't perform well. Right. You got to think, you know, the year prior, there was like, this is his league for the taking. Mm-hmm. American player versus Luka in Joker. Mm-hmm. He's the guy. He has a little bit more dog in him. And then he went just off the, you know, off the beaten path, mm-hmm. not by his play, but by the team's play.
Yeah.
And the way they looked in the playoffs. The biggest thing for Luka is the win.
Which he's done. I mean, he's won five-plus playoff series in, you know, 6 years.
They got
to
be not winning,
yeah. but no ring yet. Obviously, that's going to factor into discussions.
Yeah, and that's hard for him because, they don't have, even though you have LeBron, and LeBron's still, you know, top 15 player, you know, whatever, you just don't have. I mean, you got DeAndre Ayton, and that's.
And Jackson Hayes. Don't forget Jackson Hayes.
You're right, but you got DeAndre Ayton, and that was like your fifth option as far as you struck out, or you didn't get Brooke Lopez. You know what I mean? So it's not like he has a championship roster. It's going to be the Lakers and, you know, the Celtics is kind of like the four, you know, everybody assumed. But, you know, if they make some noise and go on a run, say they were able to get, let's just say Oklahoma City is number one seat again. And say the Lakers, you know, with Luka leading the way, is able to get to number two seat. And he's playing phenomenal. And he's showing... All he needs is about four games that he really plays really good defense.
As long as they're on TV.
Exactly. As long as they're on TV. Because you know what they're going to talk about?
Oh, he put in the work. He committed to it.
Right. He can still get blown by on a odd like Wednesday night with nobody
down
watching.
In Atlanta or something. Yeah.
Orlando, you know. Right?
Hey, yeah. Now, to be fair, both those teams are going to be pretty good this year.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm in on both of them.
Yeah, so it'd be
the Wizards. Oh, it's just the Wizards. He didn't care.
That's the game. You know? He ain't gonna be, right, yeah. You know, he got in
Charlotte.
Late. Yeah. The plane was delayed, and he gave up 30 points. So, if I think if he's got to do that, then he has a chance to win it. But more importantly, I think this is a great time for him and his agent to sit down, and maybe with LeBron, and try to figure out how to reshape his legacy.
Hey, LeBron, you're leaving this year, right?
You're leaving this year. How was it like, you know, when you had to do it on your own when you came back, or how did you handle Cleveland?
Yeah,
as an 18-year-old, not the same age.
Well, then as a 28-year-old again, right. Yeah, 30, yeah. Whatever he was,
right? But handled Cleveland, you know, those teams that LeBron took to the NBA or Eastern Conference Finals and NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. His first stint in Cleveland will be the same team like the Lakers when he leaves, because when LeBron leaves, I guarantee you. Reeves is out there as well, because they thought about trading him this year. So how do you reshape your legacy when your roster isn't championship level? That's the biggest thing he's going to have to face. And once he does that, then the MVP stuff and all that will take care of itself.
Next 5 years, Jay, who would you most like to have on your team? Luka, SGA, or Jason Tatum?
Shea. I think his game will last. I mean, he plays at his own pace. He's a big 6'6". You don't have to worry about him being ready. Mm-hmm. He can create good enough. He can play a good enough defense. And I think he's going to be doing the same thing.
It's Luka for me.
Now, I was about to say, Luka at the top of his game, I don't know. You have to ask me about 4 weeks into the season this year if I see it for real.
Fair enough.
I think I mean, I'm giving SGA the benefit of doubt because he's a champion.
Mm-hmm. MVP champ, cornerstone.
Play, you know, he does it all. Mm-hmm. Mid-range, go to the rack, threes. But Luka gives you the ability, you know, like for that 60-point night, followed up by a 48-point night, followed up by 41, and then a 46. He gives you that run of 40-plus and big games and kind of legendary games because of his shot making as well.
Right. I would say Tatum, I mean, obviously the Duke connection, is probably my favorite player among those guys and probably my favorite archetype too, ball handling wing, unselfish.
Yeah.
Too. Like, it's not like Jason Tatum is just scoring the ball, but Jason Tatum also hasn't proven that he can elevate. Maybe it's because he hasn't been asked, but he doesn't elevate an offensive system like Luka and SGA do. Easily the best defender of all three of those on an individual basis. Certainly Boston's scheme plays into that a little bit as well. But with how valuable offense is in the NBA right now, as much as I love Jason Tatum, it'd almost be a crime to pick him over two of the three or four best offensive players in the entire NBA right now.
Yeah, he's not aggressive enough. I mean, I think a lot of pressure is put on him, as it was in the first finals when they lost to Golden State. And then, you know, with the whole Olympic thing. And then he got one. So I don't know. It's weird. He's crazy athletic and explosive. But he's not quick. You get what I mean? He's real rigid.
Well, I get some Bryce Williams.
Yeah, he's real rigid. And I think he
a little boxy.
Yeah, and he fell in love with the three way too much.
He did.
Yeah,
and he had that one dunk on LeBron in the conference finals when he was what, 18.
Yeah, he was mad at him because he didn't sign his autograph.
Right, and then we have not seen that same level since.
Yeah, and so I mean he's still a great player. I think he's probably took some criticism he didn't deserve, but ultimately I'll go with SGA or Luka to start my franchise.
Fair enough. We'll keep the basketball talk going. Fred Hoiberg addressed the media earlier today. We'll hear from the Nebraska men's basketball head coach when we get back to Old School.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Off-season check-ins from Nebraska men's basketball head coach Fred Hoiberg. He was also joined on the podium by Cale Jacobson and Sam Hoiberg. We'll get to that in just a second. But first, we want to let you know this segment of Old School is brought to you by Heartland of Nebraska Windows. They're based out of Hallam, Nebraska, and they offer a free estimate, full window replacements, all vinyl triple pane windows, and a lifetime warranty on everything while keeping their prices affordable. They're locally and family owned with their own team of installers. Give Heartland of Nebraska Windows a call today for more info at 402-430-3852, or you can visit them online at heartlandofnebraskawindows.com. Interesting stuff from Fred Hoiberg. A couple different things I think we can get to during this segment. First and foremost, what has Fred Hoiberg seen from his team this summer? What would he like to see improve by the time the fall rolls around? Here's the Husker head coach.
I'd like to see us physicality. I could see us, definitely being a need for us to be more physical, and especially in this league. I think the league's going to be an absolute monster, the best it's ever been, certainly since I've been here. And, you have to have a level of physicality to you if you want to compete. So I do think that, playing with more physicality on every possession and understanding the urgency of it. And listen, 2 years ago, we won a lot of those close games. Last year, we lost three in a row by 2 points. And, we did a lot of really good things last year, but we didn't close as well last year as we did the year before, and it was all different ways. A guy hits a three, Minnesota. We miss a three, Michigan. Ohio State, just a tough way to end that. Iowa, overtime. So there was a lot of games we just need to be one or two possessions better, and physicality is a big part of that. Giving up an offensive rebound, going and getting an extra possession for your team. So, I just like to see that continue to grow and continue to improve.
Jay, when you hear that quote from Fred Hoiberg saying he wants his team to get more physical, offensive rebounding, get a body more often, more consistently. What does that tell you about how you think practice is going? Do you think there are guys just watching the ball drop and rebounding? Do you think they're not locking up on defense? Where do you think a quote like that would come from a head coach like Fred Hoiberg throughout summer workouts?
I think it comes from two places. Number one, the easy assumption is that, it's something that he's not seeing in practice. Or
like, where is it not showing up in practice? That would you guess
maybe
in
like
the summer?
Obviously physicality comes with boxing out. Obviously, if you're hedging or blitzing, you got to be physical even when you do that. Are you letting guys cut across your face? An off the ball defense. Then are we, like you said, watching the ball bounce or giving up some offensive rebounds? Aren't really evaluating diving on the floor in kind of an open gym set, but are we going, through the echo of the whistle or through the guy, right? That's the easy one, right? Or he's seen maybe glimpses of physicality that he hadn't seen before, and he wants it on more on a consistent basis. So you're throwing a shot over the bow right there to kind of always have it in the back of their mind. So as they're training, before they get back together when school starts or after school starts, or, they're doing or, they're playing back home, whatever they're doing, it's in the back of their mind.
It's going to be interesting to see how that translates into the fall for Nebraska, because when I think about this lineup for Nebraska, Jay, I don't see a bunch of big, nasty bruisers. on the team, right? I mean, Sam Hoiberg will mix it up, absolutely. Jared Garcia's been in and out of the lineup as a transfer, but I don't expect him to play a whole bunch of minutes. Rink Mast can handle it, but that's not necessarily his game, what he wants to do. Oogie, the transfer from Central Michigan, more of that low post, back to the basket scoring type, maybe he can handle it. But yeah, I really don't think Nebraska is built to be overly physical. Now, you have to be physical enough, absolutely, right? I mean, Nebraska, like every team, makes it an emphasis to get bigger, faster, stronger. I mean, Connor Seajan said when we heard from him, he said he was up to 200 pounds, put on some good weight, was still working on that. Sounds like Bearcat Boyichangel is in a pretty good spot with his body throughout the course of the summer, per Fred Hoiberg. But I also don't think that that's necessarily, you know, the way Nebraska needs to lean with this team. Be physical enough, right? Don't be pushovers. Don't just get steamrolled. Yeah. You got to do more than just get in the way. But I really think this Nebraska team is going to be one that just be physical enough to take a little bit of contact and finish at the rim. Be physical enough to not let little grabs or little bumps affect you while you're on the perimeter. Because Nebraska is not going to go, you know, consistently get in rock fights with Michigan State, with Illinois, with this team. I do think Nebraska is more of a quote-unquote finesse team, more pace and space than it is a physical team. But you don't have to make, you know, rock fights your identity as long as you commit to getting a body. As long as you're strong enough to not let a little jersey tug hold you back and throw off the offense's timing. I don't need to see Nebraska, you know, focus on, you know, getting downhill every possession just for the sake of saying, oh, we're physical, we're drawing contact at the rim. Obviously, that's great. But I think this Nebraska team, we'll get to in a minute here too, is a legitimately good shooting team. I think Kendall Blue is not necessarily a physical player. I think he's in that Bryce Williams mold where it's more smooth, more finesse. I think that's Rink's game being on the perimeter as a seven-footer. Clearly, Price Stanford, I think, fits in that boat. Bearcat has the body for it, but doesn't necessarily do it. DeMarcus Lawrence is more speed than power. I just don't see Nebraska as a power physical team in the traditional sense, and I think that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think you, I mean, in football terms, you want to be portable. If you played in the old Pac-12, you want to be able to get in the shootout. I guess Big 12, you know, back in the day, you want to be able to shoot out. Or you want to play in the old Big 10 before Urban Meyer came in. It's like 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Or you want to be a little bit of, you know, mixed down in the ACC and the SEC as far as football analogies go. And then I think, but you're completely right. Is that you want to build a roster that's not chump, that you don't got a bunch of chumps, right? Mm-hmm. Or you can just, oh, we're playing.
You're not going to get punked.
Michigan or Michigan State. Well, we're going to give up 30 offensive rebounds. I think what he's trying to do is get you to understand the physicality of the Big Ten that will allow the skill set that you just talked about for all those different players to come to light a lot more frequent and on a consistent basis. And you're 100% right. You don't want a little jersey tug to throw you off your game, or you're constantly looking at the refs and complaining about the physical nature of basketball, because you just like the Big Ten football, Big Ten basketball is extremely physical. So you got to find a way to work within those confines, or sometimes walk around it to get to the main goal, which is to win the games. There's an old saying, and sometimes AAU is like, to beat a better physically gifted team or a more physical team is that you got to have superior skill and superior intention with how you do things, right? You got to show up with the right intention every day in the practice and the games so you can build that superior skill. That means you have to be excellent with your reads. That means even being excellent within your reads, you can't get knocked off your course. Mm-hmm. I call them secondary cuts, right? Back cuts, back cut fake, then you get open shots. That has nothing to do with being physical. That's being able to be physical enough to be able to get into a defender, read his leverage, reposition, or finish at the rim. And so I think that's where he's at. He just wants, I hope, sometimes you see this, doesn't matter what sport it is. You see it a couple times in practice and then you don't see it for a little while, then you want to see it. So you probably, you know, want to put it in the back of their minds. Like, okay, one thing that we need to get better at, and this might be something that we're, it's some things that as you review tape from last year, it pours over into this year because you have some players that came back, but then more importantly, refreshes your memory.
When you say intention too, I think about, you know, sneaky athleticism. I think it can be sneaky physical as well, yeah. Right? How's Connor Seajan going to get open shots? By being a good screener. Don't go screen. Maybe that, I know that's what's called for, but get physical enough that you can set a good screen free someone else up, right? They're not expecting you to set a good screen.
Yeah.
I would say the same thing for Price Sanford, right? We know Sam Hoiberg has that reputation defensively of getting into your chest, but Jamarcus Lawrence, right? Be in a gap, be up in someone's chest, be in his jersey. That's a way you can be, quote unquote, surprisingly physical. And I think the best way, too, to your point is, hey, just go get a body on someone, right? Even if you're not actually hitting them hard, you're not shouldering them, you know, don't actually have to always, you know, drop your butt, get low, drive to box out. If you're at least putting a forearm in a guy to say, hey, you're not just going to walk up to this rebound. You actually got to go through me a little bit every time, right? Hit it and then go get it. That's a way that, no, it's not a huge body blow, but it's a little something. Hey, we're here. You're not just going to steamroll us. You're not just going to walk over us. Let's get to this from Fred Hoiberg. Where is Nebraska maybe better or worse right now than it was last season?
Well, I think you compare numbers. I mean, you know, we played the same defense last year, and you know, when you look at the numbers where they are right now, you know, it's a much higher shooting percentage. But I, you know, listen, it doesn't matter until you get out in the fall and can you make them when the lights turn on? I mean, that's going to be the true test of it. But you know, we can only judge on what we've seen so far, and this team has been a group. And the other thing, they're unselfish. If there's an extra pass to make, they make it. And when you've got two, you know, what we call lasers on the side of the floor, you got a Connor and a Price out there together, then, you know, it's a kind of a pick your poison who you're going to rotate to. Or last year, I think we had guys maybe a short, you stunted and stayed home, you know, with a Connor or with a shooter. So, you know, again, when you have five guys that can knock down shots, you know, it's a fun team to coach. There's a lot of options, a lot of things you can run out there. And then again, if the defense makes a mistake, you know, hopefully you can make them pay. Where last year, sometimes if team made a mistake, we'd have a wide open shot and we'd throw it off the side of the backboard. So, you know, and again, listen, you look at last year's team, we're missing a lot of what we lost. I mean, we missed Juwan, you know, his intangibles, what he brought every day. Obviously we missed Bryce, a guy that could just flat out go get you a bucket when you needed one. You know, Raleigh had great size at the one before Raleigh got hurt. He was having a hell of a year. You know, Andrew Morgan brought, you know, a lot to that team. So we missed a lot of the guys, you know, but I do think when you look overall top to bottom, with this group, we do have better shooting. And, you know, again, there's some areas we're lacking. We're not as good, you know, in some of the things that we did a year ago. But, you know, I do think shooting is definitely something that we addressed.
I think one of those areas, Jay, is going to be defense. And that's where I go back to where we started this conversation. Nebraska will probably be workable, manageable, passable on defense. But this isn't going to be the top 50 defense that I think Husker fans have gotten used to seeing the last couple years, which I also think is more Fred Hoiberg style. They can lean into offense, find ways to get that flowing freely. I really think this Nebraska team has a chance to make its best defense be a good offense, put pressure on the other team to put the ball in the basket, unlike maybe Nebraska teams of the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, he said it, you know, clear as day, is that he feels like all five guys can knock down shots. You can hear the excitement in his voice, and it's a fun team to coach, because it allows him to do what he does best. You can draw up different sets, actions to get guys those shots that you want. And when you got two really good three-point shooters on the opposite ends of each other, opposite sides of the court of each other, it allows everybody in the middle of the lane or going downhill or mid-range being able to be more efficient. So defensively, I think that, you know, they probably are going to really try to hone in to be a little bit more crisp on their rotations, right? And that's really just kind of starting over every year. I think they played really, really good defense. I think the year that they went to the tournament last year was good defense, not the same level. Now it's different. So now you got to get back to, you know, your bread and butter. Everybody knows it. And obviously being able to be physical enough and defensively sound enough to get much needed stops. And then if you get on a defensive heater, you have more weapons that can stretch the defenses at all, like, you know, mid-range and deeper, allow you to have a deeper roster, because then you're able to bring guys off the bench that are able to do more things in their wheelhouse, and then obviously, you know, be a little bit more efficient on the offensive end.
Good stuff there from Jay Foreman, courtesy of Fred Hoiberg as well. We'll go to break hour two.
Thanks,
of Old School.
Shout out
Fred for that.
Yeah,
appreciate the old ball coach. I'll put a bow on hour two of Old School coming up next.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.